Have it open. Terry's going to read to us this morning. Thank you, Terry.
Today's reading is from Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, starting from verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
I love those two characters, Mary and Martha. Thank you, Terry. I love these two ladies. We're going to have a look this morning. Just think for a few minutes about Mary in particular. We obviously have to refer to Martha as well, but I want you to think about Mary. There are three incidents where Mary comes to the fore in the Bible. I want to take you through those. Clearly, they were two very different characters, weren't they? You look at family dynamics and you see how two siblings can be so different. And if ever that's seen in the Bible, it's seen with Mary and Martha. The first thing I want you to notice about Mary is that she was a lady who gave single-minded attention to Jesus. Okay, you need to remember these things because we haven't got the PowerPoints. I explained the other Sunday evening, we're having a fast from PowerPoint during Lent. Okay? A fast from PowerPoint during Lent, simply to make sure that we don't get dependent on the PowerPoint and the pictures, but that we give our attention to Jesus. So when you look up and think, "Oh, I wish we had a PowerPoint," say, "Lord, but I need to concentrate on you." When we fast from food, that's what a fast from food is about. You feel hungry, you think, "I need Jesus more than I need my food," because we do. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from my mouth." We need Jesus more than food. We need Jesus more than a PowerPoint. So Mary gave Jesus her full, single-minded attention. This little incident in the house brings the difference of these two women into full view. Jesus has dropped by. I suspect it was unannounced. I don't think they were expecting him. Or I think that Martha, being Martha, would probably have been prepared for it. She strikes me as the kind of lady that would have, knowing that Jesus was there, would have wanted to make sure that everything was in place. So Jesus has popped by unexpectedly, but not just Jesus. Jesus always had an entourage with him. He'd always have his disciples with him. So there was probably 8, 12, probably more people. Ladies, imagine having 12 or more people just suddenly descending upon you. That was what happened with this family. Jesus is sitting down. He's not fussed about the hospitality. He starts talking. He starts teaching. Mary goes in and sits to listen to him. She's rapt in attention towards him. She's hanging on every word. Martha is in the kitchen. Because I've got 12 people in here. And it's the Lord. I need to give them something good. What are we going to get? And she's rustling around. She rustles up the middle. And I can imagine her every now and again looking around, looking into the room where Jesus is. I don't think she was looking at Jesus. You know who I think she was trying to catch the eye of? I think she was trying to get the eye of her sister, Mary. And I think she was going to give her the evil. "Mary, get out here and help me now." Mary just sits there. How annoying it is when people don't get the hint, isn't it? Mary doesn't get it. And Martha, it starts off, you know, just, she's okay to start with, it's okay. But then this goes on and, you know, several evil eyes and she's still sitting there. In the end, she's so cross, she says to Jesus, will you tell Mary to come out and help me? And Jesus does this gentle rebuke to Martha, says, "Martha, I love that little word. Terry read it so well. Martha, Martha, you're worried. You're all taken up. You're upset about all the things you've got to do. Mary has actually chosen the better thing. It's so easy for us, isn't it, to get taken up with busyness. Busyness in our families. Busyness, oh, particularly busyness in church. For those of us who have a commitment to be involved and support, busyness in church, one of those things. Busyness about ourselves, busyness about our work, busyness with social stuff. Things, often things that are good and things that are right. But Jesus says, but Mary has chosen, what does he say? What is better. What does Jesus want? Jesus doesn't want our busyness. He wants our hearts. He wants our attention. Mary was one of those who gave Jesus her attention. So easy, isn't it, for us to be concerned with the practicalities of being a Christian rather than thinking about Jesus himself. With all the responsibilities that we have, with the dinner being on, I wonder how many times we come to church. Blokes, we probably don't get this too much, but I think, ladies, you may well associate with this. You may not, and great if you don't, but I think several of you do. You come to church, have I set the timer right? Is it the right temperature? I must get home afterwards because I've got to do this. And I've got to see this person. I've got to say that person. I've got to give this message. I've got to do that. It's what church is like so often on Sunday mornings, isn't it? We come to church and we've got so many things to do. Do you know what I think Jesus would say? One thing's needed. It's not the roast. It's not the dinner. That's lovely. I'm sure Jesus was grateful for Martha providing the food. But he said, that's not the most important thing. For all of us, male or female, one thing, attention to Jesus. Mary certainly gave him that attention. The second thing, the next instance where we find Mary was when her brother Lazarus was ill and he died. You read about this in John chapter 11. We're not going to read it this morning, but this little family of three living in Bethany, a little village outside Jerusalem, and Lazarus is ill. That's the brother. And they send word to Jesus and ask him that he would do something. But Jesus stayed where he was, long enough for Lazarus to die. Can you imagine what it was like for those ladies having sent word to Jesus? And it specifically says in John's Gospel that Jesus loved this family. And I just want to mention that. We're talking about Mary, and it's easy to sound as if that's a criticism of Martha when we're talking about the busyness thing, but Mary, that it says Jesus loved, it says he loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. It didn't, the fact that Martha got this busyness thing out of proportion didn't mean that Jesus loved her any less. It says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. When Lazarus got ill, they sent word to him that Lazarus was ill. They expected him to do something. They're in their home. They're waiting. The two sisters are watching Lazarus get worse and worse, and then he dies. Waiting for God is so hard, isn't it? And we think, where is he? Why isn't he doing something? He says he loves us. He could have... And Martha said this to Jesus when Jesus eventually turned up. If you'd been here... So hard to wait for Jesus. Finally, he arrives after Lazarus has died. The end of the story is that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus became a bit of a celebrity. But what of Mary in all of this? Mary, when Jesus comes, goes out to see him. And heartbroken, she pours out her heart to Jesus. And in her words, you can sense both the faith and the frustration and the disappointment that she had in Jesus. Because it was her, not Martha, as I said just now. It was Mary that said, Jesus, if you were here, Lazarus would not have died. And what I want to point out here is Jesus' reaction. If you were to read the passage when Mary says that to Jesus. Jesus, it says, is moved with compassion. It says he is deeply moved. And he says, where is he buried? And Mary takes him to the tomb. And it says, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And when it says Jesus wept, it wasn't just a tear or two. It was these huge, manly sobs. Jesus was not just touched a little bit. Jesus was deeply affected. And he breaks down. Jesus shares Mary's sorrow. Let us never think that Jesus is untouched by our circumstances. The first thing was Mary was one who gave Jesus her best attention. The second thing was that Mary was one who experienced Jesus' comfort. When she poured out her heart to Jesus, she just knew, and it was evident that Jesus felt as she did. He felt for her in the midst of her grief and sadness. Don't let any of us ever think that Jesus is untouched. Some of you have been through and are going through even now the deepest of trials and sadness and frustration and anxiety, and it weighs heavy on you. I want to remind you this morning, as I did a fortnight ago, that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us, but one who was touched in every way in his humanity and is able to sympathize. And when we come to him, we'll give help and grace in our time, in your time of need. Mary experienced Jesus' comfort. Are you maybe holding back from telling Jesus how you feel? I want to encourage you this morning. Just tell him. Just tell him. You can say like Mary, if you'd have been here, Lord Jesus, if you'd have done, why haven't you? You can tell him that. You can express that to him. He knows you feel like it anyway. You don't need to hide it from him. But keep your faith in him, knowing that he cares for you, knowing that he's affected by you. The third, a very brief time when we meet Mary, was just a few days after this account of Lazarus being raised from the dead. It's the week before Jesus is crucified, and there's a meal going on. One of the men in the town has invited Jesus in, and the whole family are there. Lazarus, newly raised, is there, and there's a host of people that are also there because they want to see Lazarus. They want to have a word with him because he's a bit of a celebrity by now. And the two sisters are there. Guess what Martha is doing? She's volunteered to do the cooking. Bless Martha. Where's Mary, though? She's nowhere to be seen to start with. But the people, the guests at the meal, are around the meal table. And they didn't have chairs like we do. They would lay down, they would recline. And their hand would be so that it was this kind of thing. For our culture, it's really a rude kind of way of eating. But they would be eating, you know, reaching off and laying down. And Jesus is in there. He's the guest, the honored guest. Mary comes in quietly. She goes up behind Jesus. In her hand is a jar of perfume. Very, very, very expensive perfume. I bought Andrea some perfume for Christmas. It was very, very expensive. Just to make the point, dear, not, you know. Actually, it wasn't. I got it off Amazon. I looked to see how much it is in boots. 65 quid this perfume is in. To me, that's an expensive jar of perfume. It would be like getting this Calvin Klein Eternity, because that's what it was, Calvin Klein Eternity, and pouring it out. I could not contemplate pouring out £65 worth of perfume. Mary poured out far more than £65 worth of Calvin Klein Eternity. She poured out this perfume that was probably part of her dowry. She was potentially pouring out her marriage in the future on Jesus' head and feet. This was costly. And once she She had to break the neck of the little jar. So there was no putting a stopper back in. Once it was done, it was all or nothing. And she pours it out over Jesus' head and over his feet. It was an act of worship. It was an act of devotion. She then let down her hair, which was a mark of shame. If a lady with the hair down was pretty much the sign of a prostitute in those days. So Mary's bringing on shame. She's misunderstood. Some of them are criticizing. Those in the room are criticizing. Jesus says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Look, what this lady has done is precious. She has anointed me ready for my death. They didn't understand what was going on. Mary gave to Jesus expensive worship. She recognized who he was. And you know, we're all different. Some are like Martha. Some of us are like Martha, who largely show our love and appreciation through serving. That's fine, just so long as we don't neglect the important part of giving Jesus our attention so that we listen to him and hear him. Busyness is good, but if it substitutes listening, then it's bad. We must listen. And I think the difference between Mary and Martha comes down, and it's seen in this part, because Mary had discerned about Jesus something that the disciples, who were arguing who was going to be great, and Martha, who was busy getting the food ready, in all of that, Mary had realized something about Jesus that no one else had realized because she'd been listening. Jesus said, she's preparing me for my death. Mary had realized that the time was nearly up, that the time for Jesus' death was coming. And so Jesus says, she did what she could. In the time that was available, she did what she could. She gave. She worshipped Jesus. She poured out her devotion to him at great cost. So Jesus refuses to let her be criticized. And he commends her for what she's doing, saying she's done a beautiful thing. I think there's so much that we can learn from these three incidents and from Mary this morning. Just makes us ask the question, how much attention do we give to Jesus himself? Just to Jesus. Not to the church, not to the cause, not to religion, but how much time each week, how much time each day do you give to Jesus? Just to listen to him. Not to serve him. Just to listen to him. Time in his word. Time talking to him. Personal time. Just talking to Jesus. As you do, you talk to him, you'll experience his comfort. Do come to him. If you're bearing a burden and you don't know whether you can tell him about it, just bring it to him. You will know that. And let's make sure that our worship is extravagant. The best that we can bring. It might be costly. You know, there's one little thing, and with this I finish. It says that the perfume, the fragrance, filled the house. I reckon when Jesus went out, I reckon everybody knew what had happened as this perfume had been poured over his head and over his feet. There's a song that we're going to sing as we finish. It says, may the fragrance of Jesus fill this place. When the disciples went out, it would have been on their clothes. The smell would have got in them, in the clothes. It would have been on Jesus. People would have known they'd been in the presence of Jesus. They took it with them. And isn't that what church is about? That we come in to be in the presence of Jesus, that when we go out, others would know that. That there would be a fragrance of the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus on us, flowing out through us, not a physical smell, but the sense of the presence of Jesus, making life better, making life more pleasant, because we carry love, gentleness, mercy, forgiveness, patience, all of those things that make life better for other people. So as we finish this morning, let's sing that song if we can. May the fragrance of Jesus